the Isle of Tonga, in the beautiful South Pacific, Tama Tonga.
The bad boy's back. From the Bullet Club.
The MLW Radio Network presents The Tiki Bar with your host, Tama Tonga.
What up, what up, what up, Malolele? Welcome to another episode, my second episode of the Tiki Bar with Tama Tonga and friends. Got our friend, my best friend, Matt, man, the fireman, Chesler over here. And we also got my father, King Haku, Ming, whatever you want to call him. I call him father or pop or any kind of dad, anything like that. It doesn't matter, you know. Yo, what's up? What's up, Dad?
Well, I'm good. What do you want?
Well, the last time we were on...
Because we're on this iPod or iPad or whatever it is...
Yes, that's it.
You still have to have respect for your father. It's not yo-yo-yo. I have no idea what is yo-yo-yo.
Let's get back to this iPad. All right. My dad likes to call this the iPad. All right. So back to the second episode of iPad, the Tiki Bar with Tama Tonga. The first episode, we left off with my dad getting picked at age 14 from the island of Tonga to represent our island in a sport of sumo in Japan. So there was a seven main guys, the first seven. And,
No. There were... two guys from Tonga College. That's Tonga High, the high school that I was in.
Okay,
was me. Like I said, last time it was me and Alani Farevai. His sumo name was Minami no Shima. And you know, as there were in the beginning there were four of us that we went. Three. It was me, Minami no Shima, and Hinodeshima. He was two from the high school, Tonga College, and one from the military.
So there's four of you guys all together.
And one from the police department, yes. There were four of us in the beginning. And then they brought the other two, Barbarian, later on in March the next year.
The following year.
Yeah, this is October of 1974 that we left.
Now, you had never been out of the island of Tonga before, right?
I did.
When?
I went to the other island. I went from Tonga Tapu to Vava'u.
Oh, Vava'u is another Tongan island about a canoe ride away. So, okay. But besides that, you've never gone outside of the Tonga Islands, huh? You were now at the age 14.
Yes.
You know, so coming into Japan, you've never flown before, right? Never flown. Now, going into Japan. Now, Japan in the 70s, you know, after World War II, they did a massive rebuild. And, you know, and they were, they had trains, everything going. You've never been on a train. So this was all new.
Believe me. In Tonga, we ride the train, we fly the airplane. Imagining in the movies, we watch the movie and you think in the third world country, we have a lot of imagining. You know,
your imagination ran wild.
And fly.
Right.
You know? That's the beauty of it. But anyway, that was, you know. You're right.
Yeah, so your first experience in Tonga, in Japan, that had to be, I can only imagine, the seeing the things on TV to actually being
well,
in it.
First of all, we had to go through Fiji.
Yeah.
You know, Fiji was, you know, a big step for us. We heard of Fiji.
Yeah.
You know, but believe it or not, your grandfather bought a home in Fiji, you know, before I even go to Fiji.
Right.
And, you know, those days, you know.
Now, Fiji was better off than Tonga?
It was a step up.
All right.
Because the British, don't forget, the British was
right
over there taking care of the country.
Right.
Tonga, we have our kingdom. The king and the queen was the, you know.
Nah.
There was our government. There was our say-so.
So what was Japan compared? What was Japan? How many steps up is Japan compared to Tonga?
Well, I don't know. Because let me say this. The great thing about happened with Japan, the culture.
Yeah.
you know, you're going for, you're going to be laughing about this, but, you know, some people will understand. What we have back in Tonga is called Takapau. It's a big step up to the mats that you saw when you grew up, maybe if you remember that. So these are the things that perfectly, like when we went from Tonga to Japan, sleeping on the floor there, on the mats, on the Takapau, you go into Japan to the futon. You still sleep on the floor, but, you know, it's a better kafu, it's a better blanket, it's a better, you know what I'm saying, you know.
My dad drops a lot of Tongan words in there for all you American listeners that don't understand Tongan. So he was saying that in Tonga we slept on a floor,
right?
You know, and we have like we slept on like this little mat, and it's not the mat that you talk, you know, 2-3 inches of mat. You're like, no, this is a mat made out of leaves,
Chesla there, you know, you sleep on the ground, under a tree, under a coconut tree, under whatever it is, you're comfortable.
He went from sleeping on the ground in Tonga to sleeping on a 2-inch...
On the floor.
On a floor, you know, in Japan, but on a...
cleaner than...
On a 2-inch mat in Japan, but still, my sister came in. What's up, sis? It's still a little padding, you know? In Japan, they still sleep on the floor or a hard... Like bed, it's not like America where you have like a futon. America has beds and all that. Japan is not like that. They still very old school, and for those that have been there, understand that it's still. Man, it's a hard. You may be sleeping on a well, it looks like a bed, but it's still hard as a mat, and that's what I was sleeping on in a dojo. They had this. It was a rise of a bed. It was about the height of a bed. But then, like, if you laid on it, it was like laying on the floor. It was a box. And if you were lucky, you had this, like, little pad that was maybe an inch and a half thick that you could still lay on. But it was still soft enough that you could still feel this damn floor right right beneath it.
That's still an upgrade. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about, son, you're sleeping on the floor in Japan, samurai days. You know, that's why even the Japanese, they don't understand the sumo culture in that way. You know, they still sleep on the floor, like I said, with the futon. You get up in the morning and, you know, roll it over and put it. But, so, you know, that's what it is. We wear still, you know, the only difference is the mats back home, you know, is mat.
You went from sleeping outside on the floor to sleeping inside on the floor.
Right.
Exactly. There you go. But, that's how you have it,
meaning,
right?
But the meaning to it, son, and Matt, is... That's what, you know, as great as Japan was then, 74, and flying and riding the train and buses, you know, it was easy enough for a third world country like us that we come into it. You know what I'm saying? You still sleep on the floor, no different there in a way, you know, whatever it is in that time in Japan, you know, and plus, like I said, we live like samurais. You know, we still have the hairdo of the samurai. We still wear the yukata. We still wear the kimono belt and all this stuff, you know. We still wear the wooden shoes. Mm. You know, those are the things that Japan, you know, they still live on it. You know, imagine that. I'll jump into it. 40 years later of my career and 40 years later of when I was in Japan, him, Tamatonga, repeated the same thing. He has to go into, you know, to the dojo and did the same thing, you know, that I did. And do the same thing that I, however you put it in English there. Mm-hmm. But that's how Japan is. And that's why, you know, you travel the world and you see different cultures and you pick up and all that stuff and learn from it, really, you know. And that's what, you know, Japan was, I learned so many things. You know, from Japan, of course, and teenagers and, you know, and like that. From a third world country to one of the greatest country in the world, you know, that was something that was easy on us. But yet, in the same time, you back into, like he said earlier, with the culture in Tonga, oh my goodness, my mom was crying. You know, every mother were worried because Japan was so dominated in the war and all the stuff that we hear from the stories. And, oh, my goodness, they didn't want us to go. But the main thing is, you know, when they come down to it, when the king and the queen invited them to the palace and, you know, let them know their vision and let them know how it is, you know, whatever they were talking about, I don't know. But their heart was going to, yes, Your Honor. It's an honor for them to, you know, for the king to say, you know, to them and ask them to, you know, let their children go and represent the country.
Now, were you guys the first foreigners to come and do sumo in Japan?
No. At the time, there were already an American guy.
Yeah.
Very popular at the time and still is, you know, you ask his name today, I'm sure. His name was, or is Takamiyama. Jesse Takamiyama. That's his.
He's an American?
Yes, from Hawaii. From Hawaii. Oh, okay. As a sumo wrestler. Right. And the other one was, we were told it was one guy from China. And, you know, he didn't do well.
Yeah.
You know, but he was, you know, those two. And, you know, of course, with four of us and later on six of us, we were in there. But, you know, we were the third, you know, outsider that came in there.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Man. So, let me just kind of put this out there. My father's 14 years old, coming from a third world country. Can you imagine that? Never. I don't think you ever owed a pair of shoes then, did you? Maybe slippers, sandals? I mean, coming from...
Shower shoes. You have to clean it up and leave it on the side for church.
And
you know, if you have that. Otherwise, you know, barefoot.
I'm gonna try to explain the dojo life to the fans here as to have you guys get an understanding of what it's like. I'm gonna try to get as close as I can. Now I was prior military. I was in boot camp. I was in the Air Force. Boot camp is an extreme version, right? You take boot camp and you kind of, let's say you add a civilian life to it with a Japanese culture, and that's what I have for the dojo. That's my experience. I don't think I would have survived as easy as I did in the dojo if it wasn't for my experience with a military background. So it's tough. To go in, especially my father went in at age 14, and you have they got chores. So every morning you have to get up, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning.
You have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, clean the whole dojo, inside out.
Yeah, clean the whole dojo. Okay.
At 6 years old, you already start doing stuff. You have to learn how to earn your meal.
So, don't worry. You know, as trainees, you have a lot of responsibilities from cleaning, the cooking. You have to cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You have to help wash these sumo wrestlers. I mean, wipe their ass, comb their hair, wash their face, whatever they need. You are a servant. That's what you are, a servant / slave.
As I said before, son, You look at the flag. It's a round red thing there. It's coming back because that's how they make you work hard to earn the respect. Because one day you're going to be doing, you know, the outcome of it is the new generation.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah,
everything goes in a full cycle.
Yeah, they're going to do the same thing to you.
For you.
Right.
Yes.
So, so it's, that's how, what was that? I don't even know where I was trying to tell you. Oh, the dojo life, the sumo. So age 14, he was doing all this.
So being, Tama, you came from a similar background, being that you did military. so you were already prepared. At least
No, Matt, I'm sorry. You can't compare that because they have people cook for them. We clean the place at 5 o'clock in the morning. We get ourselves ready to, you know, train and everything, and we train. And then we already schedule who two sumo wrestlers to be cooking that day. Mm. So, you know, they pair us with the seniority so we can learn. Mm. The rookies can learn from the seniority how to cook the food, you know. You know, these guys, they have people, you know, cook for them.
Ah, I'm not trying to compare Tim Todd, you know. Jeez,
you know,
hey.
Clean and iron their uniform.
Well, what I was getting at is if it was a tough transition for him who had at least experienced some small aspect of what it was going to be, you know, imagining as a 14-year-old kid coming in and having no life experience, let alone any idea what he was going into. I mean, I'm 33 and I can barely make it out of the house on my own. And, you know, this guy's, you know, 14 years old and leaving his home to just experience a whole new culture and a whole new lifestyle. And it's just, it amazes me to even hear that that's the way that it happened. And that's what it was, you know.
All right. Look, his dojo life, you got to give him credit. It's...
But, you know, that's sumo. Mm-hmm. You know, he's talking about dojo, of course, you know, wrestling.
Wrestling. But you did both. You did the sumo and you did the wrestling dojo. So that was two different times of his life
I have to tell you, man, and all the listeners, you know, the gentleman who's... You can use it. The grandson wanted to play golf. But anyway, those are the things, Matt, that you know, about the gentleman who started pro wrestling in Japan also was a sumo wrestler, you know. And, you know, that's how most of everything that, you know, changed, that he brought from sumo to professional wrestling, you know, the life of a sumo wrestler, you know, that's how it started, you know. With the professional wrestling. So
now, who started that?
It's my goodness, you got me. It will come to me.
Yeah.
Ricky Tosan.
Ricky
Tosan was the first one. He was a sekiwake in sumo, and you know, sekiwake is the third rank, you know, to the champion in sumo. And that's the gentleman who brought it into. And because of wrestling, it was so, you know, unbelievable those days with the war and everything. And, you know, he was kind of, you know, stand out, you know, biggest star in Japan at the time, you know, because of what he, you know, brought to the country and everything. Started in the country.
Uh-huh.
And he got killed. You know.
Now, okay, so... How long were you in sumo for?
I was with sumo for 2.5 years.
2.5 years?
Yes.
Okay. And then right after, so when you were done with sumo, how long between that till you went to
professional
wrestling?
It was probably about 2 years. What happened at my last match, I broke my ankle there.
Yeah.
Went to throw a judo throw.
Yeah.
And that's what happened there, because my opponent was about 400 pounds. And, you know, when I tried to throw that, I didn't realize that he was, you know, I'm lifting him up. In the same time, I'm only 1 foot on the ground there while I'm sweeping him with the other foot. And that's when my right ankle, you can hear the pop, pop, you know.
You were 15, 16 at the time?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was just turning 16.
And in what kind of stats, what kind of size were you at the age of 16?
I was still...
competing with a 400-pound gentleman.
400 pounds, I was still about... My weight there was about...
180, 200?
210.
Oh,
yeah,
damn,
210.
You were
210. Big dude is 16 years old.
All right, he's 16 years old and he's weighing 210. I am 30-something. allegedly 33, right? I'm 210. This is the heaviest I've ever been.
But you guys, if you see that picture, you know, I'm still skinny, like, you know.
Yeah.
It was just the muscles, I guess, or whatever was built at the time, you know, 16. 210, and you work out every day and everything like that, it doesn't look the same as 210 that you sit and watch TV all day long. You know what I'm saying? That's right. The difference, you know. So those are the things there, and I, like I said, I throw that, you know, judo throw, and, you know, that you can hear is the loudest thing, you know. So he fall on top of me. Of course, he won, and I sit there and wait for the ambulance, you know, and finally that where the pain came in, and I was screaming my head off right in the middle of the sumo toiho. That's the sumo
arena.
No. That's the sumo ground that we stand on, and you call it the ring.
Okay.
You know, for the wrestling, but
right.
Toiho.
Yeah.
Toiho. Do you learn the Japanese here, son? You've been how long? You've been here.
I've been there 6 years. I still don't know squat.
Yeah.
I know how to squat. I just don't know, but that's about it. But there's
Songkyo, there's, you know, all that good stuff. Matawari, there's all.
So you were 17, 18 when you started at All Japan?
Yes, I was 17 when I started with All Japan.
Wow.
Yes.
Gotcha. So 17.
And I married a 23-year-old woman.
Oh, pimp. Yeah. Man.
I was 20 and she was 23.
And is something wrong with that?
Well, she was just begging for me to marry her, you know.
All Japan is where my father started at age 17. Okay, Ma. Cool story, bro.
All right.
So at age 17, All Japan, AJPW is where my father started his wrestling career, and man, you did the young boy for what? How long were you a young boy before you got sent out to your excursion?
I was, as I told you, if you remember earlier, that I was the chosen one in the name of Jesus. So I was only there for 6 months. Yeah, that's the shortest, one of the shortest.
Hey, 6 months?
6 months. You guys were a year.
Let me tell you something. Like, most guys get, when you come and start off, you start off a trainee in wrestling, you stay, you don't debut until, you don't, like, after 10 months to a year, and then however long after that before you get set in your excursion. It took me 2 years before I got sent out to my excursion. Took Farley about a year and a half before he got sent out on his excursion. And you say you got yours done in 6 months?
6 months.
6 months you debuted it? I mean, that was a different time too then, back then. So, I don't know how much that really credits you. So, I don't care. It's a different time now, Pop. All right? So,
you gave one my time there. What would take you 3 years?
Six months back then is like 3 years today. So, it's all good. It's all good. If I had done it, I would have done it in 2 months that time. But, anyways. After you 6 months, you debuted, and then they sent you right away?
Yeah. They sent me right away to Amarillo, Texas. Everything is big in Texas.
That's where you went with the Funks, huh?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, Tori and Terry. And that...
they had their territory at that time still there.
Yeah.
What was that? What year was that? End of the 70s?
78... Yeah.
And you went to Texas.
Make it to Amarillo, Texas.
Amarillo, Texas. How long did you stay there?
Amarillo by morning. What?
What? How long did you stay in Amarillo?
Amarillo, I was there for 6 months.
You went to Tampa?
No. And I moved from there to Los Angeles. But let me say this. And, you know, you young guys, young generation, you jump the things right away instead of make the history going in smoothly. Sonny boy.
I'm trying. I don't know your history. That's why I'm asking questions.
The gentleman who hired me from New Japan Pro Wrestling, Matt, you know, you'll be surprised to hear this, especially nowadays. His name was Shohei Baba, but they named him in Japan as Giant Baba. Why? Because this Japanese gentleman was 6'11", and how he get to Tokyo from Yamagata, this is, yes, Yoshi Kong.
All right, sorry, my nephew's here.
Yeah.
We'll
wrestle later on.
Yeah,
he wants to wrestle.
Yeah, my nephew wants to come in and wrestle. He's 4 years old. Okay. He's been wrestling every single day.
Yeah. Let's go wrestle.
Yeah, my dad's teaching him how high spots. My man is 4 years old, doesn't know how to read, but he knows high spots, okay? And knows how to drop kick. Learn your ABCs first, homie.
But anyway, he was a pitcher for the Tokyo Giant. Mm-hmm. He was a pitcher for Tokyo Giant.
Giant Baba.
Uh-huh. And he was the one who hired me. I just wanted to mention all, you know.
He hired you over in Japan or when you were in the States?
In Japan. Yeah, he was the owner of New Japan, of all Japan then. Yeah. And of course, New Japan, where the Tamatonga and Tangalo at, is at the time, it was Inoki. Antonio Inoki, that was running and owned the place at the time there. So, you know, those are the days that, you know, Antonio Inoki is still alive, you know, and so I just want to.
So when they'd sent you to Texas, had you ever been to the United States prior to that?
If you go to Hawaii, United States, yes. Okay. Is that a state, son?
I don't know. You tell me, but you've been there.
You've been in the military. You said, your country and your...
So from Texas, you went to L.A. How long did you stay in L.A.? Who were you with in L.A.?
Oh, that's L.A.
Yeah.
I was with the Guerrero family.
That's how you met the Guerrero?
That's how I met the Guerrero family.
Now, I've heard stories of my pop. He's brought over Eddie Guerrero back in the day, in the 90s. It's the first time I met him. My dad always had close ties with the Guerrero family. Chavo Guerrero. Oh, the whole entire family he's been in close ties with. And this is the first I've learned how you guys met. And it was all in L.A., huh?
Yes.
So, wow, history. Yeah. History. So, okay. So you were in L.A. with the Guerrero family. How long did you stay out there for?
I was there for 6 months.
Okay.
Got hurt there, my shoulder. Uh-huh. That I supposed to. They booked me at the time in Portland, Oregon, because Jimmy Snuka was going on from Portland, Oregon to Carolina, North Carolina, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. NWA, you know, at the time. But I got hurt, you know, my shoulder there, so I was out for like 2 months, I think, you know.
No, but was Barbarian out in L.A. with you at this time?
Oh, yes, thank you. That was the first time, really.
Yeah.
Barbarian came in. He saw me on TV, and then, you know, he think, oh, okay.
And you guys hadn't seen each other since the sumo days, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, exactly. That's Japan at the time.
Yes, yeah.
So now, fast forward it, 5, 6 years later?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah, huh?
Well, yes.
And
he was in L.A.
L.A.
at the time. So he came in, you know, and we, talk about it and, whatever I said at the time, you know, and... He went back and went to, you know, do a wrestling school in, I believe it was San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, same school that Sting and the Warrior went to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't remember the old-timers that ran the school at the time.
So from L.A., where was that? Is that Tampa next? When?
Yeah, from L.A. to Tampa.
From L.A. to Tampa. So the Tampa is what I know more of. That's when you met up with Tiger Hattori.
Yeah.
You also was there with
Kabuki at the time.
Kabuki.
Yeah.
And you saw Tenryu. Tenryu was there. So this Tampa area was a big. That was the where all the wrestlers was
Japanese wrestlers.
Yeah, huh? Because, it was a hot spot for
yeah. Japan. Because you know, we have my goodness. You know, now all of a sudden we talk about something.
Yeah.
You know, that of course there were one of the wrestlers married here and lived here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the best shooter in the business those days is Carl Cutts.
Yeah.
At the time, you know. So most of the Japanese, they love, you know, those guys because they were Matt, you know, that's why I always love you with the amateur wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, you know, they come in here to learn how to shoot. Mm-hmm. Take back to Japan.
So coming out from LA to Tampa, this is where you met Hattori Tenryu.
Yeah.
Now, so there's a lot of stories here in Tampa. it's kind of like the roots of a lot of friendships began here in Tampa, and there's just a lot of stories that I want to fill you in, especially with Tiger Hattori, who's a very close friend of ours, and he's been like how do you say in Japan, he's been my father figure out there in Japan, and he's looked out after me, and
you know, you can't call a father figure you know, you should call him like you always said, a wise
there man, we go,
you
know, yeah, yeah, know,
in the way that you always, you know, because of our friendship,
mentor.
Not, you know, I'm not around.
Yeah,
father,
so
you know.
there's the stories of my dad and Hattori-san and Tenryu-san here in Tampa, where Hattori ran into my dad's car. Anyways, these are stories. They're great, great stories. They're funny stories, and it's how I see myself and the Bullet Club now. It's just the beginning. It's the root of something, of everybody's career. That's what I see. I compare myself to with Machine Gun, Gallows, Fale. This is how I see like my dad and Barbarian, Tiger, Tori, Tenryu. They all got this root where they all started and the friendship started
and
from
Kabuki.
There. Yeah, and Kabuki. So. Our time has run up, but we're gonna definitely jump into this on the next episode, and because I really want to hear this, and I think the fans do too.
I don't want to tell any more stories.
So, join us in the next episode. You know, it's a little loud over here, a little chaotic here at times. You know, but I'm at home. I'm with my family. I'm just kind of giving you guys a insight into our family, so apology for the ruckus and everything, but this is about as live, as real as you can get. I'm signing off. This is Tama Tonga, and my fireman.
Bye.
Matt Man. All right, thank
Tana
you.
Lord just walked in. And
yeah, my brother just walked in, ate a pineapple, and didn't say shit. So I'll check up with you guys on the next episode. Thank you.